And good evening, basketball fans, and welcome to the Upstate Hoops podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. I'm Jim Sinacropi alongside Matt Verkey, and the 2014-15 high school basketball season is fully underway. We'll recap the action in Victor on Saturday night in a showcase that featured Geneva, Newark, and Pelmac. And we'll have two Finger Lakes West coaches standing by here in studio, Dan Len of South Seneca and Les Miller at Dundee. We'll take a look at their teams and preview the Finger Lakes West. The Upstate Hoops podcast is brought to you by Generations Bank, with locations in Auburn, Farmington, Geneva, Phelps, Seneca Falls, Union Springs, and Waterloo. Check out their mobile banking app and visit them online at mygenbank.com. And by Dr. Rod Littlejohn, over 30 years of smiles with styles. And Red's Place in downtown Seneca Falls. The best lunches around are in downtown Seneca Falls. Check out the menu at menshalloffame.com. Hey, Verk.
What's going on, Jim?
A great triple header in Victor. You know, when they announced the teams for the Dale Bardoon Invitational this year, which normally it's a tournament. This year it was a showcase, a classic. And we knew we had to get up there because we had a chance to see Geneva, Newark, and Pelmac, not to mention Victor, and Livonia, which is a great program. So in the first game, a great stat on Geneva, who started their season 0-2. They lost to Northeast Northwest Prep, and then they ended up losing the game in Victor to Wilson. But they scored about 1,600 points last year, and they have returning to their roster 48 points of those 1,600. Like, they lose their top eight guys. So while it wasn't pretty on Saturday for Brian Miller's Geneva Panthers, they have a lot of athleticism, and it seems like they can certainly improve. And they got Minders on Monday night, and that should be a really good test for both teams.
Yeah, you know, Coach Miller, some aggressive scheduling coming out and playing the two teams, especially, you know, coming back and play Wilson, who beat East on Friday night. With all those players he lost, obviously, I'm sure he kind of expected kind of a maybe a slow start, a little bit of a struggle here, but you know, he'll get those kids going. And like you said, they got a lot of athleticism. They just need to get some experience.
Who you like in that game Monday night, Minders at Geneva?
I'll take Geneva.
Yeah, the Minders shoots like they did at NYCC. I think they might have to, but like I say, good early season test.
And that's just, you know, I have not seen Geneva play at all, but just at Geneva, you know, we'll see how it goes, though.
Then the second game, a really good matchup between two of the best programs in Section 5 history, Livonia and Newark. And we were really excited to see Tyler Collins play in his senior year, and he didn't disappoint. 26 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds, just one rebound shy of a triple-double. And it wasn't just the offensive stats that impressed us. Livonia has a great shooting point guard, Ricky Allen. Coach Matt Young said that he's the best shooter he's seen in 16 years with the program. And he was right. Allen lit it up for 27, especially in the first half. He had most of those points. Second half, Coach Avrilis makes a change, puts Collins on Allen, and he didn't really play a factor in the second half. And that's when Newark pulled away. And actually, I think we got the replay of that webcast on over my shoulder here. So exciting to see Newark. We've been handicapping the Finger Lakes East a little bit so far, and we've been kind of wanting to say Newark's the team to beat, and I say after, you know, seeing them play, they're definitely the team to beat. And then not to mention Shamar Logan's had 16 points and 12 rebounds, and they got a young kid, freshman, 6'6", freshman, and he was pretty capable. And Coach Avril even said to me, Verk, that he wouldn't have brought him up if he wasn't going to see significant minutes, and he did. He played more than half the game.
Yeah, you know, we thought over the summer that Newark was going to be the team to beat. Then, you know, Ron Derek Morris transfers out, and then you kind of you have some unknowns there. But, you know, I talked to some people who were at the game, and, you know, they said Newark looked really good. And, you know, I think they're, you know, probably the favorite in the league at this point, I would say.
Then the nightcap, you had Palmac against Victor, and Coach Dan Harris starts the season at 1-0. And like we say, a lot of people have been saying, look out for Palmac this year. And got to agree, they're going to be right there in the mix at the top of the East. They have a couple of sophomore guards, Hawkins and Damian Wright, that were pretty capable with the ball and pretty quick. And they set up Holden Knorr quite a bit, who had 30 points on, I believe, 7 3-pointers. And he made our all-tournament team after the event. We picked it. And, you know, Coach Downey for Victor has a sophomore named Jake DeSanto, who played really well. He has big man Grant Hildman, who had 28. And, of course, it doesn't get any easier for them playing in the Monroe League. But as far as Palmac goes, everything is advertised. I think they're going to be, you know, right there at the top of the East with Newark.
Yeah, you know, Palmac's been, you know, towards the upper half of the league last few years, and kind of look for them to take a step up into the top two or three teams this year. You know, they lost the Wager kid, however you said that, yeah, who was kind of their leading scorer last year. But they played at times without him last year and did well. And, you know, I think this is a year where they're going to, you know, you're going to see them in the, you know, top two or three teams all year long, I think.
In the post-game interview, we had Holden Knorr on after the 30 points, and Kevin Korzneski asked him a really good question. He said, who would win a three-point shooting contest between you and Ashley Vanderwaal? And Holden said they actually had that contest, and she won.
So. Oh, yeah.
So either he's, you know, he's honest.
Right. Yeah, she's a great player, obviously signed a Division II scholarship, so.
Well, let's move from the Finger Lakes East talk and get to the West, and I'd like to welcome into the studio tonight South Seneca head coach Dan Lent and Dundee head coach Les Miller. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Very good. Thanks for having us on.
Dan, great to have you up here. Les, welcome back. You've always been a great friend of the show and kind of helped us keep track of things out West. But let's start with you, Dan. One thing I wanted to ask you before we get into talking about, you know, the guys on this year's squad and the teams in the West. You've had a tough go over the past couple of years because basically they merged your program. You didn't coach the team. And then, you know, a year later, they're back. And what kind of impact has that had on what you're trying to build at South Seneca, which traditionally has a fantastic history, basketball history?
Yeah, we've always been a pretty good basketball school. Starting back with Jack Guinan and before him with Fred Blyler at Ovid. When they decided to merge or try to merge, for some reason they decided to let the Romulus district kind of oversee the whole program, even though it was, you know, we had merged other sports before too. They decided to let Romulus take the lead. Me and Coach Collingsworth both interviewed for the position of the merge team. They decided to go with Coach Collingsworth, which obviously I didn't agree with. I thought me being more experienced, trying to bring the two schools together would be a little bit better with somebody a little more experienced trying to do that, knowing that if it didn't work out, a lot of the merger was going to hinge on how well this worked out,
right,
because of Romulus being such a basketball program too. They've had
great history there as well.
Right. So, you know, and they didn't want to lose their identity of the merger, so the merger ended up getting shot down. With him coaching for that 1 year, even though it was 1 year, basically we are starting from scratch again.
Right.
You know, we would have only had one, there was only one South Seneca senior on the South Seneca Romulus team. A few kids decided not to go out because I wasn't the coach from South Seneca, which hurt the team also.
Yeah, and their development for if they're coming back, you know, the year after, so.
That really hurt, you know. They didn't get any of the coaching that I teach. And the Romulus program doesn't do much of what I do. They play a lot of zone, and they do a lot of dribble drive type of offense. It's nice if you have the talent, but if you don't have the talent, that's a hard offense to run. So with them doing something totally different than what I like to do, basically it was a lost year. And then we came back last year. We ended up getting 6 wins. We improved as the season went along. I only had 1 senior. So I, you know, I'm hoping for a pretty good year this year with 4 of the 5 starters back this year.
And I should mention, too, speaking of the good basketball programs at Romulus and South Seneca in history, the girls' teams have both done very well over the past couple of years, and there was no merger there with those clubs.
Right.
But let's talk about this year's team real quick before we talk to Coach Miller about the Scots. I love Lincoln Bachman Lowe. As a matter of fact, he got a nickname for him. I call him the Great Emancipator, Lincoln Bachman Lowe. I tried to go with a little Bachman Lowe overdrive, but that stuff, that just didn't work. But he's a really good kid, and it's a shame we didn't get to see him play at NYCC. Dresser looked really good at NYCC, and I really like Andy John Drew, the point guard. He seemed to handle himself really well against a lot of pressure from Minders. And the Marcella inside can certainly score in a variety of ways in the paint. So I like the kids that you got, and it seems like the future's bright is Lincoln's just a junior. So correct. Talk about the guys you got this year.
Well, like you said, Lincoln Lowe, he's a junior. Last year as a sophomore, he was second team all-league. So, you know, obviously the other coaches see the promise in him, too. He's our best player. He had probably last year out of the 18 games, he probably had 10 or 12 double-doubles. So he, you know, he goes to the boards as well as offensively. And then Eric Dresser is one of our seniors, very fast, very athletic, gives us some speed up and down the court, goes to the boards well also. Would like him to shoot a little better, but that's been coming on for him. So it's just a matter of getting into the groove and hopefully finding that stroke. And then, like you said, Andy John Drew, our other senior, very good point guard, a tough little guy. His 2 older brothers played for me, so he's the end of the John Drew line for me. But he's a tough competitor, left-hander, takes care of the ball pretty well most of the time, and can knock down the shot if you give him the opportunity in the open. He can knock down some shots, which he's got to do for us offensively if we're going to do anything. And then the Morella kid in the middle, he's a junior. He knows how to use his body pretty well. He's not real fast, but he works very hard in his game. Yeah, very hard. And then my 5th starter right now is Devin Rogers. He's a sophomore. I think, is one of the kids that I need to get some more out of. He's probably my biggest player. Need some more rebounding from him. And he can score if you give him time, but he's been rushing his shot, and his shot selection hasn't been the greatest early in the season here. So we're working on that. And then the first sub off the bench is Marshall Warden, another sophomore. Very athletic, quick, strong, jumps real well. I wanted to bring him up last year. Wasn't real comfortable with that. So I left him down and then moved him up at the end of the season for the last couple of regular season games and then into the sectionals. So
you got 8 on the roster, right?
Seven on the roster.
It's opposite of mine.
Yeah. Let's hope they stay healthy, right?
That's the key right now. So
Coach Miller, go ahead, Virk.
Do you practice with your JV team then?
Yes, pretty much most of the time now because – of only having 7, it's pretty hard to do anything.
It's kind of nice though that when you're trying to build things back up to have them all together.
It's very good as far as I'm concerned because basically I'm doing all the teaching, and that way I know the JV kids are doing exactly what the varsity kids are, and we got a little more.
How many kids you got on JV team?
We have 11. One kid's out with an injury. He probably won't be back for a while, but there's 11 kids on the JV and a good group of sophomores and good group of freshmen. So I think, like you were talking, in the future we got with my juniors and sophomores and these freshmen and eighth graders and ninth graders, we should be pretty pretty good in the future.
The other good thing is you don't get a lot of parents complaining about playing time.
That's a fact. I've told them you're going to get lots of time, so you better be in shape.
So, Les, first of all, congratulations on the big win over Bloomfield. We weren't shocked at the outcome, but I was shocked when you got here tonight and told us that Huber and Hartman didn't play in the game.
Yep. They had gotten a senior gift from one of their parents for a trip out west. And,
oh, wow.
They were just getting back the day of the game, so they weren't in school that day, so we couldn't take them with us.
Right, but you come out with a big win in a team that's traditional. What did you guys do last year against them? You split with them?
We lost a close one up there, and then they handled us pretty well at our own place. So,
good start, and some of the guys contributed in the absence of Hartman and Huber was Jarrett Butler with 14 points, Andrew Clark with 11, Ryan Sprague with 9, Bobby Strait with 9, some names that we haven't seen yet. So you got a pretty deep team in contrast to what Dan was saying with the short bench.
You're going to see that all year long. It's going to be different kids' names on the top of ours. I played 9 that night, and that was without the two kids that were gone, so we can go pretty deep. I've got 16 on my roster, which is more than I've ever kept, but every one of them have been in my program all the way up through, and I didn't feel it was justified to cut any of them. So.
Sure, huh? That's a big roster.
Well, yeah, I remember watching your JV team last year was pretty strong, so I figured with the kids you had back and the JV players that, you know, you're going to have a pretty good team this year, and you're going to be pretty deep.
Yeah, the biggest difference for me is practices, as he was talking about practicing with the JVs. I got a bunch of kids that can go at each other. We saw it in the foul end of it up at Bloomfield. We kept them in the game with fouls.
Mm-hmm.
But they go at each other in practice, and they're beating on each other pretty good. So we're getting
looking at your roster from what we've seen in Dundee, these are physical kids. These are big kind of manly kids. A little ahead of their time in terms of physical development. And how do you use that to your advantage?
Well, we play that way defensively. Sometimes we make it hard for teams that come through the middle, and we play a lot of help side, a lot of pinching. This year we're reaching a little bit more than I want us to so far, but we usually rebound the ball real well, and hopefully this year it'll get us out and transition a little bit more.
And who's the young kid you have that came up this year that's starting to make an impact?
Andrew Clark, our Clark. Point guard. He was up since he was a freshman, and he's played pretty good for us his first 2 years, more than I could ask for coming up that young, but he's definitely turned a corner this year, and he's looking to attack a lot more, and he's making a lot of plays for us so far.
Did you guys miss any practice time because of the football team going as far as they did?
No, not this year.
They got done in time?
Yep.
Last year, I think that affected you. Didn't they go for
it,
a little deeper?
It seems like it has
year?
The last 10 years. I'm glad it was Red Jacket's turn.
Oh, that's right. Red Jacket went the furthest this year. That's right.
Well, you know, we talk about the teams in the West, and we were saying, Dundee, Bloomfield, what do you think? Well, it looks like Dundee staked the claim as the front runner as far as our mind goes in the West. But then all of a sudden, you see Marcus Whitman go ahead and win that tournament in Waterloo, beating a Greece Odyssey team that beat Waterloo. And you have to ask yourself about the Marcus Whitman Wildcats. Can you guys tell us a little bit about Marcus Whitman?
Well, we played them earlier last week on Monday. They've got good size. The Stone kid, Brad Stone, very long, got long arms, tough on the boards. And then I believe it's the Tommian kid, a lefty.
Lucas Tommian.
Yep, he's a big, strong kid. He hurt us inside.
He had 17 in that game.
Yep, he's very strong. And they don't shoot the ball like they did last year. They shot the ball pretty well. This year, they're going to struggle a little bit more from the outside. So if you can keep them from getting the ball inside or getting second and third shots, I think you can do okay against them. But because they're not going to shoot the ball as well as they did last year. But their guards are decent.
They lost Luke Shively, right. Who is the guy, always their leading scorer every game.
Right. Yep. So they lost their two best players. But another kid from the JV, another tall kid, is up on the varsity. He's about 6'4", so he gives them some more length, too.
And now you saw Dundee, or Bloomfield, firsthand. Alex Flattery is the name that we remember a lot from last year. What else does he have complimenting him in Bloomfield?
The one that I remember the most, and I can't remember his name offhand, but it's 15. He was the
lefty
point guard.
Yeah, Conklin. Wyatt Conklin.
He got to the middle quite easily on us and
pulled down 12 boards against your big guys. That's an impressive number, double-digit rebound.
He kept them in for a while, right. I thought, getting to the middle and either creating something for someone else or getting fouled.
He's a nice player.
Yeah, they're definitely not as experienced as they have been, but I'm sure Coach Maston will have them there by the end of the year.
What about Honeyoy? There's a team that, remember, they had Ben Kratzley one minute. They look like got one of the best teams they've had in a long time. There was the hazing incident, and then the next year they, I don't know if they won a game in that following season.
Last year.
Yeah. And so what can we expect from them this year?
A little more experienced. Same thing kind of Danny was talking about, another year with them. And as you can see from the Bloomfield score the other night, they were right in there with them. They were down by quite a bit, and so they showed a little bit of fight and came back and brought it. I think it was a 4-point game at the end of it. So.
They're very young. I think they only have one senior, and mostly they've got a couple of freshmen and mostly sophomores with just a couple of juniors sprinkled in there too. So
future looks good.
Yeah, they've got some kids coming up.
Their younger program's been real solid.
Right.
Them and it was our junior high team and their junior high team really had some battles here the last couple of years. So they're going to be getting better and better.
Here and then you have Naples. Isaiah Tilley's the guy coming back who we focused on last year quite a bit. Mick Salter squad, one of the legendary coaches out in the West. What do you think about Naples? As a matter of fact, Coach Lent, we're webcasting our first game from the Guinan, and it's going to be Naples against South Seneca later on this season.
They're an interesting team. You never really know what to expect from them.
2 years ago, I believe they tied for the league title. Was it two seasons ago?
They were right up near the top.
They were right up there.
Yeah. And then last year, again, they've had some years where they've had a lot of seniors and things just didn't quite materialize for them. They like to shoot the three, so, you know, along with that goes sometimes you live with it and sometimes you die by it.
And they're athletic and big.
Right. They have some good size.
And unlike Dundee, they miss the beginning of basketball season because their soccer team is usually going deep in. So that's a Naples problem, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Tilly's been there for as long as we've been doing this. Because we did their Romulus game a couple years ago.
Yep.
And he was playing then and did pretty well in that game, I remember. So it seems like he's been there for quite a while.
So we'll look forward to seeing them in action later this season. Am I missing anybody?
HAC.
Oh, yeah, which might be the team that we wouldn't want to sleep on from the early results. They've been looking pretty good.
They have pretty much everybody back, essentially everybody back from last year's team. And they gave us a couple battles at least early on in the games. And they're another really big school. They're bigger than we are. And I'm not sure on their guards yet. I haven't seen their guards play a ton yet. I know Galen Everett. He was a good scorer for them last year.
They essentially are a Rochester City team, you know, which is really odd to be, you know, to have them in the Finger Lakes West. But
they've been there since I've been here.
Yeah.
And when they first came in, there was a little controversy about them coming into the West because of them being a city school.
And is that a charter school?
It's not a charter, but it's a private school. Yeah. They can basically recruit.
Right.
They can get kids to come there from wherever. And, you know, that was what was brought up, you know, what's going to keep them from getting other kids.
Yeah.
And for a while they had one of the Rob Blackwell who was coaching them, which we thought would lead more kids to come there because of that, which I think they thought too. But then he left, and so that didn't really pan out much. But that's one of the issues with them being right there in the city. They can recruit.
Yeah, luckily for you guys, they all see, all the kids up there go to Aquinas or Kearney, you know, at least the basketball.
One of the interesting things about them, though, I was talking with Coach Liotti the other last year, and he said his senior night he was representing, it was either four or five of the seven continents on his senior night. So they have quite a diverse population up there.
Yeah, and it's a really nice campus and facilities up there at HAC.
Never been there in my life.
Really?
Nope.
You know what? I played soccer up there when I was in high school once, and that's the only time I've been up there. But maybe we'll find ourselves in that gym doing some webcasts. Who knows? Well, hey, it should be a competitive year. And, Coach, I think, like we say, if we're picking a favorite this year, it's you guys. No extra pressure.
Thanks.
But look to see you there. And then, of course, you guys are both C2 this year, right? Yep. Which is Lions is C1, Minders?
Lions is C3 this year.
Oh, C3, yeah.
You know, you got Perry, just looking in here, Calmum, Dundee, South Seneca, Kendall, Campbell, Savona, Letchworth. So it should be interesting. Red Creek.
Oh, Jake Slobe's is in there too. Wow, hey, we might find ourselves at the Blue Cross with some local teams.
So
yeah, actually.
Geneseo, they've usually been pretty good.
Perry lost the other night.
Did they?
Perry's lost twice so far.
Yeah, so they may be down a little bit this
year. One of them was Cal Mum, though.
Right, Cal Mum's always tough. Yeah.
Well, like I say, we're looking for a big year from Dundee this year for South Seneca with this group of kids you got. I can only see improvement as the season goes on, hopefully peaking about the postseason time. And, you know, we really look forward to checking out some both your teams this year.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can I just, real quick before we go, want to say happy birthday to my daughter, Abigail. It's her 11th birthday. And I don't know if she won the discussion with Mom to stay up and listen to me.
Well, we do. We have quite a few people on. I guess you guys bring the heat. Who would have thought Lenton Miller bringing the heat?
That's right.
It's probably our opponents waiting for us to say something bad.
Yeah, so you can use it against us.
Well, we're not going to quite bust out of here yet, Virk. We need to do two very important things. We need to pick our players of the week, which for the first week this year, and then we got to run through the power rankings, our top 10, which we're releasing every week on the podcast of the Wayne Finger Lakes teams. And so let's start off players of the week. Virk, why don't you go ahead with yours?
I went with Tyler Collins. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of games this week. Most, you know, some teams didn't even play. A couple teams played once, but you know, 26 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. Just seems like he had a great overall game
against a tough opponent too.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned earlier, defensively did too. You don't see those stats. I'm going with another guy that played Saturday in Victor. Holden Knorr from 30 points against Victor, the host Victor. And, you know, calling some of the coaches before we went over there as I called play-by-play in that game, Dan Harris said, oh, Holden Knorr, he goes, he's got no conscience. He says if he misses, he's going to keep shooting. If he makes it, he's going to start shooting from deeper.
When you're on, shoot. When you're off, shoot until you're on.
Yeah, and he was right. The last one he made was about a 23-footer. And quick release, he reminds me a little bit of your cousin Devin. And he just gets it off before you even know he caught it. And then it goes in.
Yeah, I remember watching them play a little bit last year, and I remember they had a bunch of good shooters, and it should be quite a matchup when they play Minders because, you know, both teams like to get up and down and shoot threes. So
hey, Tyler and Holden, as player of the week, you get yourself a FingerLakes1.com t-shirt. All you got to do is email us at upstatehoops@FingerLakes1.com with your mailing address and t-shirt size, and we'll send you a t-shirt. Could have saved on the postage, Virk, if I gave it to him Saturday night when we saw him, but... Also, on that webcast, a couple of really nice interviews at post-game of the Newark and post-game of the Palmac win. Kevin Korzeneski, Michael Essio sat down with Tyler Collins and Holden Knorr. Might be worth checking out. You can check out that the replay of that webcast. It's about 6 hours long at FingerLakes1.tv or by subscribing to our YouTube channel, FingerLakes1.com. And, of course, we always want you to download the FingerLakes1.com app on your Android or iPhone, and you can watch all our programming there. Of course, you get all the latest local news, weather, and sports, and the Upstate Hoops podcast also on iTunes and Stitcher.com. So congratulations, Tyler and Holden. I think Tyler's got a couple T-shirts, Virk, from last year.
He may. I can't remember, but You know, he kind of was overshadowed a little bit last year, I thought. But, you know, we always thought that he did a great job of running that team. And this year, obviously, he stepped it up to do a little bit more scoring and rebounding.
Yeah, well, and we were hesitant to give too much expectation to Newark because they lost Micah Wright, Jamie Rosser, and Ron Derrick Morris, yeah. who transferred to SOTUS. So, Collins was ready to go. So, power rankings. Every Sunday night, we're releasing them. It's been kind of tough so far because we haven't seen all the teams in action and still some questions that we have, but most of those questions are going to be decided on the court over the next week or two. So let's start it out. Number 10, we got SOTUS. That's Ron Derrick Morris's new team. It's his hometown, transferred from Newark to SOTUS, playing this year, his senior campaign for SOTUS. And then we got Waterloo dropping down to 9 after not as we expected more than we saw from them in their host tournament in the loss to Greece Odyssey, a game they lost by 3 points. Ben Deming had 18 points, but I think he had about, I think they said 14 or 15 in the first half and then not so effective in the second half. So we got Waterloo at 9.
Yeah, that seems about right, you know, because especially when Whitman came back and beat Greece Odyssey the next, you know, two nights later, so.
Yeah, and then we, at number 8, we got North Rose Wolcott. My brother-in-law teaches up there, so I get a little inside info on those kids. But Tyler Norris, the point guard, very, very good. Maybe one of the best players in the league in Wayne County, along with Damon Hunter. So some good point guards, you know, out there this year throughout the Wayne Finger Lakes leagues. And then at 7, we have Marcus Whitman based on their performance. And then at 6, Minders, who I think we dropped from 5 to 6 last week, even though they played once and had a big win. But they're going to be tested Monday night against Geneva, a team that's not in our top 10 at 0-2. And then on Friday night, we're going to be in Seneca Falls for a boys-girls doubleheader between Waterloo and Minders, where that discussion of who we should be ranking higher, Waterloo or Minders, will be decided. And both those games, Virk, should be great. You got Dave Barnick on the call along with you and Kevin in a three-man booth, and I'm really looking forward to next Friday night at Arthur L. Baker.
Yeah, this should be, you know, last couple of years it's been the Minders boys kind of dominating the Waterloo girls, but this year we look for two very competitive games.
And then at 5, we got the Scots from Dundee. I think you debuted in the poll at 9, so you moved up less 4 spots with that Bloomfield win. Actually, we had Bloomfield in there, too. I can't remember, but I think it was 8-9. And yeah, convincing win without two of your top players. So certainly vault you up to 5, and that's the highest-ranked West team in our power rankings. So again, no pressure.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
And then at 4, we got Penn Yan. They beat Bath Haverling pretty soundly. They were 3 last week. We dropped them down. This core group of kids been together for several years, and this is the year that they're supposedly putting it together. They're playing Dundee later this year, which is a nice little Yates County matchup. And then at 3, we moved Pell Mac up after how good they looked yesterday in Victor. And then a change at the top, too. Lions was 1 last week. After some deep discussions with the whole Finger Lakes One sports team, we dropped Lions to 2 and brought Newark to 1 after seeing them handle Livonia on Saturday. And, you know, traditionally, you got the top team in the East is going to be a little better than the top team in Wayne County. And so we're kind of basing a little bit on that. And unfortunately, Lions and Newark, although they're neighboring towns, don't get to play each other. But you agree with Newark at how I didn't see your what's your ballot? We accumulate it all.
I agree with that. I think, you know, just typically, you know, Newark's bigger, and you know, they played a couple years and Newark handled Lions pretty good. Obviously two totally different teams this year, but you know, Newark was able to handle Livonia on a neutral court, and Livonia is typically a strong program, so I have no problem with Newark being number 1.
So there you have our top 10. We'll have another week of ball games, and we'll release the next one next week. The other thing, Rick, I think when we're doing some of these podcasts, we're going to be putting the number 1 there next to Newark by the thing. Oh. And so try to really get this power ranking thing some traction. Speaking of the week ahead, mentioned the crosstown rivalry doubleheader in Seneca Falls. First game's at 6 o'clock, second game's about 7:30. Barnick, Verkey, Korzeneski on the call from Arthur L. Baker, Minders, Waterloo. That's appointment viewing. And other games this week, Monday night, we got Miners at Geneva, School of the Arts at Bloomfield, Webster Christian at HAC, and then Clyde at Williamson. Tuesday night, Newark at Wayne, Penyan at Waterloover. That's a real interesting early season game.
Yeah, you know, two teams that were interested to see how that goes down.
I'm going to try to get over there. I'm going to try to get over there for that one.
We got soccer for the girls.
Do we?
Yeah.
It's 7:30 or will we?
6 to 7:30.
Oh, perfect. Me and you will hop over. We'll stop at Connie's and grab a garbage plate after maybe. Also Tuesday, Pell Mac at Mid Lakes. Red Jacket at Honey Oy. Red Jacket, guys, is a team we didn't talk about. Corey Fogarty got hurt in the football season. I don't think he's playing.
I heard he broke his leg. Yeah, he's out. Yeah. And he last year he didn't play much either, which kind of hurt them. He had broken his wrist or something, and he didn't play very much last year either. So
one of the best athletes on the team.
Yeah.
Very quick. And I heard the Sheets kid isn't playing either. From what I heard, I haven't seen the roster yet.
We were supposed to play him, but it got changed to February 9th because of them being in football, so they moved it back.
Nobody
from
did
last
me any
week.
Of those favors. Yeah.
So that would be Tuesday schedule, Wednesday, full slate of games in the West, especially Whitman at Romulus, Naples at Bloomfield. That one's pretty interesting. South Seneca at Dundee. You guys are playing each other. So that'll be a good one. Is it tough down there making these long trips to some of these Western schools?
It is, really. But Dundee's are pretty this close. Is one of the closer ones for us. Yeah. So we just can go around the end of the lake to Watkins. But
Honey Oy and HAC. Are
yeah, those
there.
Are the ones. Naples a big hike. Is another one. There's no easy way to get.
I mean,
to
HAC
Naples.
Must be an hour and
it's a little over. But at least with that, you can for us, we can get on the thruway and zip right up there. Naples and Honey Oy, they're out in the middle of.
We did a soccer game a couple of years ago, Naples against Red Creek in Cohocton, and so we've made that drive. And yeah, we me and our producer made the trip and. Yeah, we kept wondering when we were going to get there.
I'm still working on Les to have him sit Huber and Hartman. Just one more game to really teach him a lesson. You know?
For Taco for going on that senior
that's
trip.
That's right.
Then we got Clyde at ER. I'm looking forward to that one, too, because a lot of people are down on Clyde after losing DeSanto and Bogans and Faniel. But, you know, Michael Turner's back, Faniel's younger brother Jared's back, and they got a young freshman named Chance who everybody's high on. So they might not have dropped as much as, you know, we thought. So that'll be a good test at ER. North Rose Wolcott at Marion. Haven't seen North Rose play yet, so it'll be good to just see what kind of numbers they're putting up against Marion. And then we got them on November 29th in Waterloo in a boys-girls doubleheader. Red Creek at Sotus, another pretty good battle in Wayne County, and then Williamson at Gananda. Friday night, Honey Oy at South Seneca, Romulus at Red Jacket, Geneva at Newark, traditionally one of the games of the year in the East, Mid Lakes at Penyan, Waterloo at Minders that we talked about on FL1 Sports, Wayne at Pell Mac, Bloomfield at HAC, then Dundee at Naples, big game in the West, East Rochester at Red Creek, Gananda at Lyons, Marion at Williamson, and North Rose Wolcott at Sotus, another big Wayne County battle is. Both those teams are vying to take a shot at the title this year. So, hey, a great week ahead.
There ought to be some fun games Friday night in the West.
Yeah.
Pretty competitive.
See where we stand with some of the other teams.
Well, hey, guys, I really appreciate you coming down on Sunday night. And we talked about a long drive. You know, Les has made this trip a couple times. And I don't know how you feel about the move to Sunday night instead of Thursday for the show. But
Either way.
Either way, it's a long
drive. I enjoy
drive.
Coming up.
Good.
Well, we enjoy having you. Appreciate it. And Dan, thank you very much for coming up. And yes. It's been great talking to you about South Seneca basketball, and I'm sure it won't be the last time that we have you up here.
I hope not. Thanks.
So thanks for joining us on the Upstate Hoops podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher.com. We'll be back live next Sunday night at 9 p.m. Until then, have a great week, and we'll see you live on Friday night inside Arthur L. Baker Gymnasium in Seneca Falls. Good night.